I didn't know that. I think that's a great slogan. The perfect place for people who aren't. Amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. Good job, Tam. Good job. Good job. I bet you of all the sermons that I've preached in my life, I've probably preached this one the most. And so you've probably heard me preach this before, but it's not the same. It's different. But I want to preach to you tonight. I want to talk about the parable of the loving Father. The parable of the loving Father. You might know it as the parable of the prodigal son. But it's much more about the father than it was the son. And so I want you to listen to this tonight. And if you have your Bible, I want you to turn to Luke chapter 15. Luke chapter 15, drop down to verse 11. Luke 15, starting in verse 11. And then he said, a certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falls to me. And so he divided to them his livelihood. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together, journeyed to a far country, and there wasted his possessions with prodigal living. But when he had spent all, there arose a severe famine in that land, and he began to be in want. And then he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into the fields to feed swine. And he would gladly have filled his stomach with the pods that the swine ate, and no one gave him anything. But when he came to himself, he said, how many of my father's hired servants have bread enough to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise, go to my father, and I will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you, and I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me one of your hired servants. And he arose and came to his father, but when he was still a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion, and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in your sight, and I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. But the father said to his servants, bring out the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his hand and sandals on his feet, and bring the fatted calf here and kill it. Let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. And they began to be merry. I tell you, that's one of the greatest stories in the Bible. And we, like I said earlier, typically we refer to this as the parable of the prodigal son. The word prodigal means wasteful. The word prodigal means wasteful. He took everything that was his, that the father had given him, and he took it to a far land and he partied. Pretty much. That's what he did. He partied. And he partied until he didn't have it anymore. But I want for our focus tonight to be on the loving Father. That's why I've titled this the parable of the loving Father, because it emphasizes the graciousness of the Father more than the sinfulness of the Son. Unlike a shepherd and the woman in the previous parables, it talks about the lost coin and it talks about the shepherd that lost the sheep. And the father, see, this father, unlike those other two, see, they searched for him. The father, the shepherd left the 99 and he went after the one. The woman that lost the coin tore her whole house apart looking for the lost coin. The father didn't go looking for the son. Isn't that amazing? Unlike the shepherd and the woman in the previous parable, the father did not go and seek the son, but it was the memory, listen, it was the memory of his father's goodness that brought the boy to repentance and forgiveness. When he came to himself, he remembered how good the servants had it at dad's house. He remembered how good dad treated the servants. There's three experiences of this younger son that I want for us to look at really quick tonight. And the first one is rebellion. Rebellion. He was rebellious. How does the Bible describe rebellion? Does anybody know? Yes, ma'am. It is as of the sin of witchcraft. Rebellion. So according to Jewish law, the elder son receives twice as much as the other sons. Pays to be born first in that culture. Amen. And the father could distribute his wealth during his life if he wished. And so it was perfectly legal for this younger son to ask for his share of the estate and even to sell it. But it wasn't very loving on his part. Amen? So we're always headed for trouble whenever we value things more than people. Hello. We're always headed for trouble whenever we value things more than people. We're headed for trouble when we value pleasure more than duty. We are headed for trouble, church, when distant scenes are more than the blessings that we have right at home. And once Jesus warned two brothers, take heed and be aware of covetousness. It's one of those kind of words, isn't it? Listen, church, here's the deal. The covetous person can never be satisfied. No matter how much you acquire or he acquires, a dissatisfied heart leads to a disappointed life. Paul said, I've learned to be content in all things. Paul said, I know what it's like to have lots of money. I know what it's like to not have any money. I know what it's like to kind of be in the middle of the ground. He said, I've learned to be content where I'm at. That is a great lesson, church. That is a fantastic lesson. The covetous person can never be satisfied no matter how much he acquires, and the dissatisfied heart leads to a disappointed life. The prodigal son learned the very hard lesson that you cannot enjoy the things money can buy if you ignore the things that money cannot buy. Let me say that again. You cannot enjoy the things money can buy if you ignore the things that money cannot buy. See, the younger son dreamed of enjoying his freedom far from home and away from his father and his older brother. How many of you just couldn't wait to get away from dad? And now, where's dad? I tell you what, there was a time in my life when I wanted to be away from my dad, but I'll guarantee you one thing, I'd sure like to sit down and visit with him today. Amen? This guy, he dreamed of his, it's going to be great to just be on my own. I don't have to answer to nobody. Surprise, surprise, surprise. You got to answer to everybody. Somebody's going to have to pay that bill. How are you going to get that bill paid? You're going to have to find a job. Now you have to answer to your boss. See, this Jewish boy was feeding hogs. Listen, if you know anything about the Jewish culture, that was so taboo. It was some completely wrong. It was absolutely against their culture. And he was so hungry, he wanted to eat the pig's food. Now that would have really put him over the edge. This guy's in trouble, man. Just couldn't wait to get free from dad, free from the bondages of home. How many of you realize there's some freedom and there's some liberty in the bondages of home? He wanted to enjoy his freedom far from home. Let me tell you something, man. You can get as far away from home as you want to, and you're still going to run across somebody that knows you. I have found that out in my own life. You got, I don't give a rip how far away you go. Somebody knows you. It's true. It's the craziest thing. If the sheep was lost through foolishness and the coin through carelessness, then the son was lost because of willfulness. Amen? If the sheep was lost through foolishness, the coin lost through carelessness, then the son was lost because of willfulness. He wanted to have his own. He thought he was at Burger King. Right? Where you can have it your own way. I'm putting in a commercial right there, didn't I? He wanted to have it his own way, and so he rebelled against his father, and he broke his father's heart. None of us have ever done that before. He broke his father's heart. This scene is in the drama is our Lord's way of emphasizing what sin really does in the lives who reject the Father's will. Listen, here's the deal. Have you got these, Michelle? Sin promises freedom, but it only brings slavery. Think about that. Sin promises freedom, but it only brings slavery. You find very quickly that you are bound up in sin. What I used to say that sin will keep you longer than you wanted to stay, cost you more than you wanted to pay, and take you places you never wanted to go. Sin promises freedom, but it only brings slavery. Listen, sin also promises success, but only brings failure. Oh man, if you just could get your inheritance from your dad and run off down here to this wild country with and have some do some prodigal living, oh, it's going to be great. Oh, you're going to have all these friends and folks are going to just gather around. And they did until he ran out of money. How many of you know that's true? Promises success, but it brings failure. How many of you know this is true? The sin promises life. Oh, man. If you just do this or if you just do that, it's going to be great. I mean, you're going to really live it up. It's going to be awesome. But the wages of sin, the Bible says, is death. Sin might promise life, but the wages, according to Romans 6 and 23, the wages of sin is death. This boy thought that he would find himself, but all he managed to do was lose himself. Ended up in a pig pen, broke, desperate, and without hope. But he came to himself. He came to himself. So the second thing that I want for us to look at, the first thing was rebellion. He went to a far country. The second thing is repentance. He came to himself. You ever have an aha moment? Aha. Ha 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 ha. Aha. That's repentance. He came to himself. Luke 15, verses 17 and 9 through 19 says, But when he came to himself, in other words, when he had this revelation about who he was and where he was, I think that's part of the revelation. You're a good Jew boy and you're in a pig pen. Here's your sign. Jesus was doing here's your sign before Bill Engvall was doing here's your sign. He came to himself, and when he came to himself, he said,
How many of my father's hired servants have bread enough to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise, go to my father, and I will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your servants. Woo. I'm not worthy. You're right. You're not. Neither am I. But because of whose I am, the word repent, the literal meaning of the word repent is to turn 180 degrees. Another definition is to change one's mind. To repent means to change one's mind. And that's exactly what the young man did as he cared for the pigs. He came to himself. Can you imagine? This guy is, he came to himself, and it suggests that up to this point, he really had not been himself. How many of you want to be so different? I mean, back in those days, you maybe wanted to be so different than what you were supposed to be. You did everything you could against everything that you used to be so that you could be something different, only to find out that you're just a mess. Hello. Doing stupid things that I said I'd never do. Going places I said I'd never go. He came to himself, and it suggests that up to this point, he really had not been himself. There is an insanity in sin that seems to paralyze the image of God within us and liberate the animal inside of us. Think about that. Let that sink in. There is an insanity in sin that seems to paralyze the image of God. In other words, block it out of our thinking, block it out of our heart inside of us, but looses or liberates the animal inside of us. And when the animal comes out, we just go buck wild. We don't have a care in the world. I've seen animals do crazy things. I shared with you about the sheep the other day. That's kind of crazy when they just start walking out of a moving cattle truck. I've seen, logically speaking, a cow will not run through something it can't see through. If you put something up that a cow can't see through, a cow won't go through it. Typically. Until the animal comes out in the cow. I had that cow. That cow's name, believe it or not, was Cannibal. Because that sucker was not all vegetarian. She would eat you, man. She was mean like none other. And she knew when it come time to move from one pasture to the next pasture, all I had to do was show up with a stock trailer and she was gone. She'd run through any fence. I'd put Visqueet blue tarps up so that she couldn't see where the gate was. She knew exactly where the gate was. And when she got to the gate, she'd hang a left and she was gone. She didn't care whether she could see through it or not. She knew that it was there and she just run through it, didn't care. A buddy of mine was out there, John Young. He said, Shane, I'll show you how to get that cow. I said, okay, show me, John. He said, you just run her by, and when she goes by, I'll get out there and I'll stop her, and she won't get by me. I said, yeah, she will. She'll eat you for lunch. Sure enough, she ran down the little alleyway and saw the stock trailer there, and she just did an about face, and here she come. And John jumped out there like that, and she just put her head down, hit him, threw him right up over the fence in the backyard. He's laying out there going, hmm. I said, I told you. I told you. She was an animal. She did not care who she ran over at all. I shut her in a two-horse horse trailer with the doors shut, told my 12-year-old son. Now, son, you stand right there and don't let that cow out. Okay, Dad. I turn around, I hear this commotion, I turn around, and all I see is this cow launch out the back of this trailer. The doors are shut. She wanted out bad, and nothing was going to stop her. She was an animal. You understand what I'm saying? She didn't care that that was my boy. She could care less. And when the animal comes out in you, when the animal inside is liberated and you begin to act like that, you don't care who you hurt. You don't care whose toes you step on. You don't care whose line you cross. There's something takes over inside of you, and we know it as our flesh. See, this young man changed his mind about himself and about his situation when he admitted that he was a sinner. There was something transpired inside of him. The animal got caged. Think about this. The animal got captured. The animal got caged. And now all of a sudden, the image of God is being revealed within himself. He confessed that his father was a generous man and that service at home was far better than freedom in a far country. Isn't that amazing? See, it's God's goodness, not just man's badness, that leads us to repentance. Let me tell you something. If it was all about the badness, I'd have got saved a long time ago because I was bad. Am I the only one? Please, somebody help me. Please, somebody. Get on. Come on, Ray. Come on. Woo! It is the goodness of God, not just the man's badness, that leads us to repentance. If the boy had thought only about himself, if he would only have thought of his hunger and his homesickness, his loneliness, he would have just despaired. He would have just been in despair. But his painful circumstance helped him to see that his father in a new way. And that is what brought him hope. That's what brought him hope. Hey, Dad's back there at home, and he treats them servants good. Listen, I don't deserve to be part of the family anymore, but maybe Dad would just give me a job. Maybe Dad would just, you know, put me in some cabin on the backside of the ranch or whatever, and, you know, just give me enough to just keep me going, and I'll build some fence or plant the garden or whatever. See, it brought him hope. This image of his father, he began to see in a new way, and it brought him hope. If the father was so good to the servants, maybe he'd be willing to forgive a son. Now watch this. Think back this morning to risk or regret. Had he stopped there, he would have experienced only regret and remorse. Only regret and remorse. Look at what happens in 2 Corinthians chapter 7 and verse 10. For godly sorrow produces repentance leading to salvation, not to be regretted, but the sorrow of the world produces death. So true repentance, church, involves the will as well as the mind and the emotions. He said this, I will arise, I will go, and I will say. That's what the prodigal said. I will arise, I will go, and this is what I'm going to say. Now let me wrap this up. The third thing about the son is the rejoicing. He came to the father, verses 20 through 24. And he arose and he came to his father, but when he was still a great way off. Oh man, I want you to think about that just for a moment. If you've ever had a good, faithful dog, which, by the way, I got a dog for free. If anybody wants a dog, I got one. I got home today after church. I walked in the house. looked like it snowed in my house. And it wasn't even cloudy. Blue Heeler. Good dog. Fantastic dog. Apparently doesn't like one of our chairs. So it ate it. Apparently it didn't like it. Quit laughing, Mike. Ain't that funny. I'm bringing it to your house. Amen. The dog, our little precious dog. Hey, I'll tell the story, all right? I'll tell the story. Our little precious baby dog has this little bed thing that goes on the back of the couch because she thinks she's a tiger and likes to guard things at the house. And so she sits on the back of the couch, and it's got this really nice soft bumper all the way around it and this blanket part that folds down over the couch. And it's just lovely, and she just loves it so much. It's wonderful. And apparently the Blue Heeler likes it quite a lot too, because she ate half of it. Amen. I mean, it's filled, that fluffy round part is filled with this white fluff stuff. It's very nice. And it was everywhere. And our cat's involved. Our cat's outside. See? The cat comes in the house. In the house, the cat, we have a chair that's just for the cat. And she can claw it. She can do whatever she wants. It's her chair. She'd been outside. The dog ate half of that chair. Ate the bit the back, chewed the back out. Stuff everywhere. Foam rubber everywhere. White fluffy stuffing stuff all over everywhere. The dog had just... she was having a great time. It was awesome. And the cat comes in the house. And the dog's... I'm going to kill a dog, so... the dog's outside for we had to have separation. Me and the dog, we had to have separation. So the cat sneaks in the house, and the cat walks in the front room. And the cat looks at the chair like... I mean, you could see her face. Her face just went... And she walked over to her chair and jumped up in her chair. And she sniffed around and was... She was... I'm telling you, anyway, I don't know where that all came from. What started that story? Does anybody know? Somebody help the preacher out, would you? Good Lord. Oh, my word. Oh, I know where it went. No, how many of you have ever had a dog, a good dog, and when you leave, that dog watches you leave, and when you come home, that dog's in the same spot looking at the last place that it saw you? That's what I think of when I read this verse of Scripture where it says, he arose, came to his father, but when he was still a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. The picture that I get in my mind is that dad's out on the porch. And he's sitting in his chair on the porch, and he's looking down the road at that bend in the road where his boy, the last time he saw his boy, his dad's probably sitting on the porch weeping and crying because he knows that his boy is about to get in some serious trouble. And dad's on the front porch, and he's looking, and he's watching where that boy went around the corner. Wonder if I'll ever see him again. Day after day, dad sits, and he's on that porch. He's looking down that road to see if his boy's ever going to come back. And lo and behold, one day, this image comes around the corner. And his father saw him. It says, while he was still a great way off, his father saw him and had... Listen, the father had to be looking because he saw him a great ways off. Listen, it wasn't because he caught it out of his peripheral vision because he was looking at the sheep out in the field. He was looking for the son. The father saw him. And he ran to him. He had compassion, and he ran, and he fell on his neck, and he kissed him. And the son said to him,
Father, I have sinned against heaven and in your sight. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. But the father stopped him right in the middle of all that he was saying. And the father said to his servants, bring out the best robe, put it on him, put a ring on his hand and sandals on his feet. Bring the fatted calf here and kill it. Let's eat and be merry. For this son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. And they began to be merry. Isn't that amazing? You know, remember I told you just a while ago that the angels in heaven were rejoicing because one sinner, two sinners, and a dedication changed their lives today. I'll tell you what, this is the same thing. The Father never did permit this younger son to finish his confession. The fact is he interrupted him, he forgave him, and he ordered for the celebration to begin. Woo! My boy is home. Woo! He was stoked about the whole deal. Of course, the Father pictured to us the attitude of our Heavenly Father towards sinners that repent. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 through 10 talks about it, but let me just narrow it down. He is rich in His mercy and grace and great in His love towards us. That's God. All of this is possible because of the sacrifice of His Son on the cross. It don't make any difference. Listen, no matter what some preachers and some singers claim, we are not saved by God's love, church. We are not saved by God's love. God loves the whole world. John 3:16 said so, right? For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. Just because God loves the whole world does not mean that the whole world is saved. The whole world is not saved. We know that. So preachers and singers that claim that that we're saved by God's love, that's not true. We are saved by God's grace. And grace is love that pays the price. You've been redeemed. You've been purchased. You've been bought by with a price, the shed blood. Can I tell you that in the East, in this culture, old men did not run. In fact, his dad was in a position of authority in the city that they were in. And as such, you don't run. Let me tell you something. When your kid's involved, all bets are off. Is that right? When your kid's involved, all bets are off. In, you know, being dignified. I had to think about that just for a minute. Being dignified is pretty low on the totem pole, because when you read this story, he girded himself. That means he hiked up his britches, buddy, and he jumped off that front porch and took off running, and he fell on his son's neck. This father ran to meet his son. Why? Well, one obvious reason was his love for him and his desire to show him that love. But there's something else involved, and I want for you to see this. This wayward son had brought disgrace to this family. His dad was a high up guy in the community. And this wayward son brought disgrace to the family and to the village. And according to Deuteronomy chapter 21, verses 18 through 21, the reality is, if they'd have been following the law, if the dad would have followed the law, this is what would have happened. He'd have been stoned to death. See, we don't talk about this. We don't talk about this part of the story when we're preaching about the prodigal son. We talk about how great it is that the boy's home and all this kind of stuff. But we forget about the father and what the father did. The father had a second ulterior motive, in my opinion, when he took off running for his son, because the neighbors might have saw him coming. And some of the neighbors might have said, here comes that punk kid. We need to stone him to death and kill him. And the father ran down there and put his arms around him and loved on him and put his coat and all that stuff on him and said, this one's mine. I was watching on a video the other day, and I like watching the bull riding and clips and stuff about bull riding, and this bull come out of the chute and this kid was riding him, and this bull bucked him off, and on his way off the bull reared his head back like that and hit this kid right in the head with his horns and
just cold cocked him. I mean, knocked him out colder than a wedge. I mean, to the point where when the kid hit the ground, he didn't bounce, he didn't roll over. He was just stiff, just like he had rigor mortis the instant he hit the ground. He hit the ground and he was just stiff. Well, his dad was in the chutes. And when the boy hit the ground, the dad instantly knew that there was a problem. And he ran out there and he fell because the bull was coming back around. Because the bull will always come back to help you out of the arena. And he saw the boy laying there and he spun around and he came. And the dad ran out there and the dad threw himself over the son to protect the son. And the bull come and just piled him, just pow! Took the hit for the boy. That's what a father does. That's what this father did. Deuteronomy chapter 21 verses 18 through 21 says this: if a man has a stubborn and rebellious son who will not obey the voice of his father or the voice of his mother, and who when they have chastened him will not heed them, then his father and his mother shall take a hold of him, bring him out to the elders of the city, to the gate of the city, and they shall say to the elders of his city, this son of ours is stubborn and rebellious, and he will not obey our voice. He is a glutton and a drunkard. Then all the men of the city shall stone him to death with stones. So you shall put away the evil from among you, and all Israel shall hear and fear. Holy cow. I am really glad that my folks wasn't buying into that deal. I wouldn't be here today. Amen. See, if the neighbors had started to stone him, they would have hit the father who was embracing him. It is a picture, a perfect picture of what Jesus did for you and I at the cross, church. What made the difference? What made the difference? Listen, instead of saying, Father, give me, the son said, Father, make me. And I'm not talking about a make me as an act of defiance. You make me do that. No. All of his life it had been give me, give me, give me. He's had a change of heart. He's seen that riotous living in a faraway land was getting him nowhere. He came back home and he said, Father, make me. Make me like one of your servants. Make me like a hired hand. Make me be like somebody that just works here because I'm not worthy. See, he was willing at this point now to be a servant. And of course the Father didn't ask him to earn his forgiveness because no amount of good works can save us from our sin. Listen to me. No amount of good works can save you from your sin. No amount of good works will get you entrance into heaven. As I shared, you know, with Craig this morning, it's the free gift of God. You can't purchase it. You can't earn it. You can't work for it. You just have to accept it. In the faraway country, the prodigal learned the meaning of misery. He learned what it was like to do without. He learned what it was like to live completely against everything that you had been taught all of your life. He learned the meaning of misery. But back home, listen to me. Back home, he discovered the true meaning of mercy. He knew experientially what misery was like. And when he came back home with the expectation that maybe Dad will give me a job, Dad said, look, you my boy. You my boy. You ain't working for me. Somebody get a robe, put it on him. Get a ring, put it on him. Get sandals, put them on his feet. This boy of mine that was lost, he's found. Listen, man. The ring was a sign of sonship. The best robe was, without a doubt, the father's robe. And it was proof of his acceptance back into the family. Listen, in that culture, servants didn't wear rings. Servants did not wear shoes. Servants did not wear expensive garments. The feast was the father's way of showing his joy and sharing it with others. Had the boy been dealt with according to the law, had the boy been dealt with according to the law, there would have been a funeral, not a feast. there would have been a funeral and not a feast.
It's interesting to consider the father's description of the son's experience. He was dead. Now he's alive. He was lost. Now he's found. This is the very spiritual experience of every lost sinner who comes to the Father through faith in Jesus Christ. You were once lost, but now you're found. You were blind, but now you can see. There's some parallels as I wrap this up between the prodigal's coming to the Father and our coming to the Father through Christ. In verse 24, the prodigal said that he was lost. Jesus said, "I am the way." In verse 17, the prodigal was ignorant. That means unlearned. Jesus said, "I am the truth." And in verse 24, the prodigal was dead. Jesus said, "I am the life." Church, there's only one way to come to the Father, and that's through faith in Jesus Christ. There's only one way to come to the Father, and that is through faith in Jesus Christ. I'm grateful today for people that are still coming to Christ. I'm grateful today to be a part of a church that is driven to salvation. There's nothing gets my blood flowing more than somebody getting saved. Church, we better always have time to sit with somebody and lead them to Jesus. We better have time for that. If you don't have time, you better make time. Amen? Yes, sir. Amen. Amen. It was a risk that you'll never regret. Amen. Church, that's what this is about. That's exactly what all this is about. Bob is still home sick. Not sick, but still in pain in his back. I know that Ray is still experiencing pain in his back. Fred is still... Fred's either... He either stands up or lays down. Sitting is not an option. And so we need to just pray that God will release that sciatic nerve and take away that pain so that he can function normally. Amen? Yes, ma'am. .245 was your blood sugar? What's it supposed to be? Between 70 and 100. And yours was 240? 245. Well, holy wow. Yeah, you need prayer. You need that. That diabetes is just a mess. It's just a mess. Amen. Yeah. He does know. He does know. These altars, I want to open. Do you want to come and play something or no? Just do something. And all right. I want to open these altars, and if you want to be prayed for, I want to pray for you and anoint you with oil. Sunday night, I declared when we started this at the first of the year that Sunday night was going to be much about prayer. And so far, I haven't got there. I sat down this afternoon and to put this message together, and I thought I'm just going to just be real brief. I just want to just, you know, like a little devotional. And the more I studied and the more I come up with, the longer it got. And it's 7:30. So I believe God wanted you to hear what I said, what He said. I want it to be a challenge. I want it to be an encouragement to you. But I want to pray with you. I want these altars to be open. I know this much. This church ain't going to grow because of my fantastic preaching. This church is going to grow because we are talking to God and God is making the increase. That's why this church is going to grow. This ministry has got to be birthed and founded and rooted in prayer. And that's what these altars are for. And I know I get in trouble for saying these altars when they're really just steps. I understand that. But it is a benchmark. It's a place where you can come and say, hey, at this altar. Amen. So I want you to come. If you want me to pray with you, I'll pray with you. If you want to just spend some time, then just spend some time. If you've got to go, then God bless you and God go with you. We're grateful that you were here tonight. And call somebody this week. Men, I want to encourage you to be here Friday night. We are seeing some great things. Ladies, I want to encourage you to be at the Thursday mornings. I don't know what they're doing in there. But I want the women's ministry to grow as much or more than the men's ministry is. Just like we battle with the boys and the girls for coins for kids. Men and the women, we're battling. I want everybody in the church to be involved in these things. Amen. Father, I thank you for this day. I thank you for your goodness. I thank you for your grace. I thank you for the loving Father that is demonstrated in this passage of Scripture. That God, that you changed the life of a son and you brought him back to his family. And God, the story is still being told over and over and over. And Father, I thank you for that. I pray, God, for people tonight that need a touch from heaven. God, touch Fred. Heal his back, Lord. Heal his sciatic nerve, Father. Lord, I pray you just take the pain completely away, God. In Jesus' name, Lord, I lift Bob up to you right now. And I pray, Lord, that you would touch him, that you'd set him free from the pain and the discomfort in his back. I pray, God, that you'd line everything up. Father, and I just thank you. Lord, I pray, God, tonight for Ray, that you would heal his body. Heal that back, God. Lord, you've got work for him to do. Lord, he's just a young man and you've got work for him to do. And I pray, God, that you'd set him free to do those things. Remove the pain. Heal his back. Lord, I'm thinking about Thomas tonight. And I pray, God, wherever he's at and whatever he's doing, Lord, that you would get a hold of him, Lord, that you would meet every need that he has, Lord Jesus. I pray, God, that you would make a way where there seems to be no way. God, meet the need that only you can meet in that situation. God, we love you. We thank you, Father God. We give you praise and glory. We lift Sister Sharon to you, Lord, tonight. Touch her. Lord, we are grateful to have her in church with us this morning. God, bring her back again. Father, and I just thank you for it in Jesus' name. Lord, for our building plans tomorrow as we meet with the architect. God, give us wisdom and understanding. Give us favor, God, with the building committee and the building inspectors and all those permitting people, Father God. Give us favor, I pray, with them. Lord, we love you. God, I pray for Randy tonight, God, this diabetes. Lord, she don't claim it and we don't claim it. But God, some doctor said that it was there. And Lord, you are the ultimate physician. And we just pray, God, tonight that you'd remove it. God, that you'd set her blood levels to normal. God, that you'd make everything that controls that stuff, make it right, God. Make it work correctly. I pray, God, that it would filter out all the bad sugar and keep the good sugar and all those things, Lord. The cholesterol, all whatever's involved. God, and I just thank you. Lord, there are hurting hearts all around our city. God, I pray this evening, Father, that you would touch hearts and lives. God, I know of fire calls from this morning. God, I don't know what the results were of them, but Lord, the potential is that somebody lost a home, or at least severely it was damaged. So God, I pray that You'd be with those folks. Lord, we lift up the country of the Ukraine. God, I pray You stop Putin. Put a stop to him in the name of Jesus. All of his devilish ways, God, stop them, I pray. Lord, we pray protection and peace for the Ukrainian people, Father God. Lord, that they would be able to hold on to their homeland, Father God. Lord, I praise You for it, Lord. God, I praise You, Lord. God, be with this church. Cause it to grow, Lord. Not so that we'd have numbers, but so souls would be added to the kingdom, multiplied in the kingdom of heaven. God, we give You glory and honor. We give You praise, Father, in Jesus' name. Oh, we love You, Lord. We love You, Lord. Go with us as we leave this place tonight. Bring us back together, Lord, on Wednesday. Father, in Jesus' name. Oh, how we love You. Oh, how we love You, Lord. Oh, how we love You. We bless You, Lord. We bless You, Lord. We bless You, Lord. Praise You, Jesus. Praise You, Jesus. Father, we just lift Thomas again to You, Lord. Give him strength. God, I pray tonight that whatever it is that is going on, whatever he's doing, I pray, God, that he would be able to just put it aside, lay his head down, and rest in You, Lord. Give him rest tonight, Lord. Father, I thank You for it. I give You praise and glory. God, we love that young man. And Father, we pray, God, that You would work out situations that he's going through in his life, the turmoil and the trials, the tribulations. God, the devil would love to gain him back. But Lord, we stand against the devil. We stand in the gap, not only for him, but God, for other young men and women that are deciding to take steps of faith in service to You, and they're being attacked by the enemy. We stand tonight in the gap for them, oh God. We stand shoulder to shoulder, back to back, and front to front, God, around those young men and women. Lord, we declare, devil, You have no authority. You cannot have them in Jesus' name. Father, I thank You for it. Give You praise and glory. In Jesus' name, hallelujah. Glory to God. We praise You, Jesus. You're worthy, Lord. You're worthy. You're worthy, Lord.